Happy New Year to everybody. You have to organise the furniture now. So much is new to me. This is the first time I've used the kind of naked pulpit. George, can you do me a favour and move that screen? So many things are new. Did you notice that the parents of 007 were required? Boy, we need to pray for them if they've got James Bond as a kid. There we go. Well, I want to greet every one of you at the beginning of this year, particularly those that are visiting. We pray the hand of Almighty God would be upon you in this year, and that it would be for all of us a life-changing year. Amen. So, I'm amazed at what God has laid on my heart this morning. I find that I'm constantly being bombarded at every level by godless thinking in the society in which we live. I think we all are. Our children are. They are constantly being told the world evolved, that it was not created. Our society seems to, it's just constant bombardment about saving the planet. Incidentally, I do think it needs saving. I'm not questioning that. It's warming up and it's our responsibility. There are human rights. And all this stuff has an underlying message that there is no God in heaven. So let me let you into a little bit of my private life. I enjoy wildlife programs a great deal. I also enjoy documentaries. By the way, wildlife programs, I was watching a program the other evening, and it was talking about Madagascar. Did anybody see any of that stuff about Madagascar? There's a frog there. And that frog needs to find a mate, but he's not really very good looking. So what he does is he finds a hollow tree and he crawls into it. And then I won't try and repeat it, but he sings a note. It's pathetic. And so he tries another note and another note. And then they explain to you that what he is doing is trying to find a note that resonates with the hollow tree. When he finds that note, it comes out beautifully. And there is a young lady a few yards down the road. She hears it. And she, thank goodness we don't. And then it says, this whole process emerged 3 billion years ago, or something of the like. I think, oh no, I watch the news. I'm interested in current affairs, politics, all that kind of stuff. And it wobbles my confidence in who Jesus Christ is, who he claims to be, and what the Bible says about him. Now listen, it's not all right for me to bury my head in the sand and say, let's do church on Sunday and sing the words that we've sung and kind of hope that it all goes away, while at the same time having a message that is sounded out that there is effectively no God. I mean, let me be really frank about it. The Bible tells us this. That there are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And those invisible kingdoms are constantly at warfare on the stage of earth. We must not think of this as just some kind of backstage thing. It is right in our faces. And we will never be able to run away from it. And one cry that I have, which I believe the church a part is falling into, that if we just carry on in our little kind of cozy worlds, singing songs and, I'm not mocking, but if we are not careful, we're going to turn God into a fairy tale and church into a nice touchy-feely place that makes people feel better. It is no fairy tale. And so I believe church should be a place that equips people to stand up and speak out and say with confidence. So I'm reading through Isaiah at the moment, and we'll bring up the first verse on the screen. I've really struggled with this morning, so I hope that you can read it at the back. If I give you a font size that you can read, we're probably going to have, I don't know how many billion slides, but there we go. But I was reading this, and it just interested me. Listen to me, O Jacob, Israel, whom I have called, I am he, I am the first and the last. My own hand laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. By the way, let me just say that repeatedly through the book, I'm just amazed. Terry, I think it was you that read a moment ago from Colossians chapter 1, which wasn't planned. But it says that he is before all things and created all things. And I looked at this, and this happens. To me, it is God's signature. When he wants to authenticate and give his right to reign, it comes from the basis that he is the creator of the world. And then he says, and my right hand spread out the heavens, and when I summon them, they all stand up together. I think, I've never read that before. Have you ever? Have you ever seen that happen? It's kind of like he speaks. I mean, I need some help with this, because how many of you know what shape a star is? How does something round stand up? What does it actually mean? Or is this just poetic talk? Just kind of something that sounds nice. I was reading Revelation. I thought this was interesting. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. And the stars in the sky fell to the earth as late figs dropped from a fig tree. When shaken by a strong wind, the sky receded like a scroll, rolling up. Every mountain and island was removed. That's fairly dramatic. I think it's dramatic. Then I started to think, hang on a minute. If we just get this right. The stars in the sky fell to the earth. Let me just show you an illustration I clicked. I don't know the first thing about stars, by the way. But let me just give you a little illustration. I'm not going to be able to read this. You're certainly not. This is the size comparison of stars. Okay? So the little tiny yellow one is the sun. Size comparison of other planets, stars, are there. I'm not going to name them. I can't even read the big one. It's big. It's very, 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 very big. You get an idea of its scale. Now you can see how small our sun is. Now allow us to compare our sun with our planet. So there's the sun, the little yellow curve on the outside, and there's Earth, the blue one. Can you imagine what it would feel like for the stars to land on Earth? It's going to get very heavy. To me, it is like the planet landing on a small tomato. So is it just poetic talk? To me, when God says he created it, is his signature. And actually, the claims of the Bible are ludicrous in the light of this world we live in. They are ludicrous. I'm really sorry, I don't mean to mock, but they are ludicrous. And you know what? There is a danger, because we want to come across as Christians, as rational people, to kind of edit the Bible in our mind and rationalize and build bridges that make it all acceptable. Yet you'd have to agree that if we believe in the Bible as it is written, There are things that are just cannot be grasped by the human mind. Its claims are incredible. Incomprehensible. The Bible claims that a few thousand years ago, God created the world and put man in it, and that he rules and reigns and sustains all things by his hand, that his hand spans the stars, and that one day, having sustained it, he will say, that's enough. And he will say a word, and the sun will flee from the sky, and the stars will fall like figs. Whoa. I can see some of you looking at me now and think, do you really believe that, Paul? But then you have to say to yourself, it's just about as big a miracle as a man leading a perfect life on earth without ever thinking an ill thought or speaking an ill word, to be crucified and killed, and on the third day, having been buried, to be raised from the dead. That is also incredible. And if we start to edit the Bible to be mere poetry, what are we going to be left with? Are some of you all right? You're looking really troubled. I decided that, you know, I thought this will probably upset somebody today, but I decided to take the risk because I believe it's what God wanted us to do. Now, of course, when it comes to the resurrection, some of you are going to be able to say, well, you know, okay, he disappeared for 3 days and came back. No. Let's be absolutely clear. The Bible doesn't try to play it down. Not only is there a sword put in his side, not only is it witnessed that he was dead, but he appeared to 500 people at once. And just to convince the community that it was a supernatural act, the Bible records it this way, that at the moment he came forth on that resurrection morning, the saints of the past that had died burst out of their tombs and were seen walking around the streets of Jerusalem. They had been dead for hundreds of years. Oh, boy. This is amazing. Do you think it's amazing? I do. We have to come to terms with the idea that the Christian faith rests entirely at every moment on a supernatural and unexplainable power in heaven. And that you do not get it until the Bible says the eyes of your heart are enlightened. So the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, we'll read it shortly, not yet, where he says, I pray that you will have a spirit of understanding and revelation. Oh, there it is. We'll come to it in a moment. You know what? Over the years, I have met Christians, heard Christians, listened to Christians, try to rationalize away all this stuff. I promise you, you will not be left with much if you do. We are faith-based people. That does not mean it is not the truth. It simply means that we haven't seen it in reality yet. But we are not ethereal. Let me explain the word ethereal according to the dictionary. This is Webster. Unworldly, spiritual, celestial, heavenly, intangible. It's not that. So Paul prays, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. I'm going to mess up my notes, but do you know what I think is really beautiful about this? I wonder how many professors and doctors we have among us, educated and genuinely clever. I wonder how many less educated. I wonder how many rich and poor. Do you know what? How rich you are or how poor you are, how educated you are or how uneducated you are, none of those things give you access to spiritual truth. Do you know what gives you access to spiritual truth? That the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. We are all equaled before God. And in that exposed, that the decisions that we make define us and speak of what we love. I pray that the eyes of your heart this year will be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the glorious hope. The Bible teaches this, that this life is nothing compared with eternity. And that this life defines our experience of eternity. How many can remember in the last century? No, it wasn't the last century, it was this century. How many of you can remember Tim? Tim, where are you? Wave at me. Are you here? Oh, sitting on the floor at the back. What sort of rebel would do that? How many of you remember him pulling a rope out and dragging it around the old church and putting a little bit of tape on the end and saying, even this isn't adequate, the bit of tape represents now, the rope represents eternity. God, please get that into my heart. The Bible teaches us that we are not defined by our achievements or our intelligence or our greatness, but by our love and obedience to Jesus Christ. He has set boundaries. And in this age, which is a phrase that I'd like to come back to in a few moments, in this age, he has hidden himself from our natural eyes. You cannot see him. You can find his fingerprint, but you cannot see him. You cannot restrict him in human terms or define him in human terms. He has, in reality, to mankind, hidden himself. There is no proof, which of course is different to truth. And the questions we're left with are massive. So in 2 Peter it says this, first of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Now here again, we have a remarkable promise in the Bible. It's mentioned hundreds of times. Is that not only did he create the world, but that it is going to come to an end, that Jesus Christ will come back again. There is something within me, let's just go off script for a moment. There is something within me when everybody's talking, quite rightly so, I'm not criticizing it, that the planet's running out of planet. And that we are, at root level, the problem is, how many of you would agree that we're overpopulated? Maybe the issue is that he's coming back again. As he promised. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. We've all had that lie spoken to us. No, life just goes on. You know, the church has had generations that believe in the second coming of Jesus, and when it doesn't happen within a few months, it becomes the less favored subject until it's left for a while, then it's picked up again. I don't know that it's about, there's going to come a day. The Bible promises us that, where he will tear open the heavens and will return. Let's stick to the scripture. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on. It has since the beginning of the creation, goes the quote of the scoffer. Next. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. In other words, it has a beginning, it has an end. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting any of you to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. It's really important that we get the understanding that the Old Testament, the New Testament, is never silent on this subject, never shies away from this subject. Where were we? Now, we have another problem with our new church that we will address, and we don't have a clock. Mal, what's the time? 10 past. You wicked girl. It's what? 7 minutes to 12. Why didn't you tell me? I promise I'll finish by 1:30. I'm really struck by a phrase in the Bible that I've noticed a number of times. You know, very often the Bible does it. You can't turn to a chapter on a subject, but you find it sown through the Bible. Let me show you one. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10, it says this. Talking about the Old Testament laws, they're only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial things. That is not relevant. External regulations. Applying until the time of the new order. What an interesting phrase. The time of the new order. That turns up again in the book of Revelation, verse 21. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What is the Bible telling us? The Bible is telling us that we live in a certain time that could be called the old order. And one day that old order is going to be wrapped up and there will be a new order. And the earth will be big enough to catch the stars, etc. Acts chapter 3. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what was foretold through all the prophets, saying that the Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything. Again, we have the emphasis of a completely new order. Sorry, next page of notes. Page 6 of 20. I'm kidding. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment. They will be changed, but you remain the same. Your years will never end. The Bible says that when that time comes, he will roll up the earth like a blanket. I believe that we are constantly hearing the kingdom of darkness spill out on us, into our hearts, into our children, and into our lives. There is no God. Things go on as they always have done. But it is simply this. This is just a personal view. But I think that the idea of the miraculous in the scripture is quite incredible to extreme that it is a real job to believe. But I believe it's an even bigger job to believe that one day two atoms bounced together, there was a big explosion, and all this happened by accident. That is just ludicrous. It is a lie. In fact, the Bible calls it the lie that deceives many. So here's your choice. You either believe something incredible or you believe something incredible. The options are not good. To the average English, rational, scientific, male thinking man. Male thinking man, that's not a very good quote, is it? So Jesus says, Matthew 24. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you will know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you this truth. This generation, there's another one, will not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what will remain forever? That incredible word. I kind of want to say something that I don't know if I can explain it. But mankind sets out looking for God through reason and logic. Let's try to see things from God's eyes. Say, Lord, if you're there, would you enlighten me through the eyes of my heart to see things the way that you do? We're nearly through. What's the time now? 2 minutes to 12. Luke 10. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to children. I've never really thought about this verse much. But you can only understand him if you come with childlike faith. All things have been committed to me by Father. No one knows the Son, who the Son is except the Father. No one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal. Then he turns to his disciples and said, blessed are your eyes. They did that see what you see. Now, I do not believe that he was saying, you can see me physically, so you're blessed. What he was saying, it's a little bit like Peter. When Jesus said to Peter, who do men say I am? They say this, and then Peter says, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. Jesus says this, flesh and blood didn't reveal that. My physical presence is that your eyes have been opened to what people have looked for years. I tell you the truth that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see but did not see it, to hear what you hear but did not hear it. How many times did Jesus say, let him that has ears listen? We are born again believers that utterly believe this stuff because the eyes of our heart have been enlightened by the Spirit of God. And I think to myself, what an exciting world we live in. Box of batteries shouldn't have been left there. I don't mean that. What an exciting come, Lord Jesus. Do you know what? For one who created the planet, devised the plan, sent himself to redeem us, rose from the grave and brought with him hundreds of thousands of those that had walked before him, has run the planets and the stars and is one day going to say, it's enough. Should it be any surprise that he works miracles among us? It really can't be tough if you can do all that. Can it? Unless, of course, you've tried to rationalize out all that stuff as well. God help us. I don't really like finishing with this passage. Might be the last. How much time have I got left now? No, don't bother. I will destroy, says 1 Corinthians 1. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Do you know, sometimes I'm going to make up my mind to do my own commentary to wildlife programs and turn off David Attenborough. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where's the achiever? Where is the philosopher? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through him, and so we don't have time to finish that. If anyone wants notes, you can have them. Let's draw to a close. Acts 13 says this, a quote from the Old Testament. It should be taken seriously. Take care that of what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and then perish. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would never have believed, even if someone had told you. You know, I feel I stand in the presence of many that believe this. But I stand in the presence of a few for whom God wants to enlighten you, and you need to make a response of giving your heart to him and entering into a personal relationship with the Creator and Savior of the world, in order that you could prepare yourself in this tiny little bit called life on earth for eternity. And I believe God calls down from heaven to you today to say you're going to have to either believe the incredible or the incredible. You make your choice. And by your choices, you will be defined. Amen. Mark, thank you. Mark, what time is it, love? 4 minutes past. Let's sing something, because I just want to sing something to the glory of God. We'll have all the musicians back. If you need to go, you're very welcome to go. But I would like to declare the praise of the one who's promised us he's coming back again. And has a home for us, that through this life that has both its joys and its sorrows, one day there will be a voice command from heaven and the heavens will open. And then we will party like we have never, ever parted before. Hallelujah.